We are on Perek Chafches, chapter 28, page Lamed Hey in the Hebrew, 122 in English. In the beginning of Perek Chafches, the Rebbe is talking about a sadness caused by worry or concern or disappointment over the occurrence of unholy thoughts that the Beinoni has. Specifically, he's talking about the times when these unholy thoughts occur during the time of davening or learning when he wants to have kavana. And because it is during the time of davening and learning, the suggestion that the Rebbe gave for getting rid of the sadness when these unholy thoughts occur during worldly activities, where the Rebbe says that the solution or the response to the sadness is that it is a positive thing to be able to say no to the Yetzer Hara and through this reveal a higher level of godliness into the world. But here, when the sadness is occurring during davening and during learning, when you need your kavana, it is not enough to say that this is an opportunity to refuse the Yetzer Hara. You need the positive presence of mind to have kavana in the davening. And you don't want to exchange the benefits or the virtue of davening properly and learning properly for the virtue of saying no to the Yetzer Hara. So here the Rebbe gives another suggestion, another understanding of the problem. The Rebbe says that the person should immediately reject the idea, the unholy thought, and dismiss it with both hands, not try to elevate the emotion behind the unholy thought, because this is only for tzaddikim, only tzaddikim can do that. And at the same time, the Beinoni, to whom these unholy thoughts do occur, should not feel defeated and become embarrassed about himself and saddened by the occurrence of these unholy thoughts, because it does not necessarily imply that the davening and that the kavana was invalid to begin with. Because it is the way of combatants or of wrestlers that when one becomes determined and more ambitious, the opponent also becomes more determined and ambitious. And it's precisely because he was davening well and the kavana was proper that the Yetzer Hara, the animal soul, desperately needed to throw in a distracting thought. And now at the bottom of Daf Lamed Hey. V'lei ketos ha'olam, three lines from the bottom. V'lei ketos ha'olam, and it's not as people mistakenly think, shetoyim lehechiach menefilas ha'machshav ezodo, in that they mistakenly want to prove from the occurrence of the unholy thought, Michlau she'ein tfilosom klum, that this proves that the davening all along was worthless. She'ilu hispalil, they argue that if he had been davening kerroye v'nochein, if he had been davening properly and as is fitting with the proper intention and kavana, then loy hayu neflim le'machshav ezoreis, then these unholy thoughts would not have occurred. And the fact that the unholy thought occurs can be explained only by saying that the kavan and the davening wasn't valid or wasn't sincere to begin with, leaving room for an unholy thought. But this is a mistaken notion. And it would be true what they say. What they say would have been correct im hoisa nefesh achas levado, if we had only one nefesh, if we had only one soul, then their argument would be a valid one. Because if this one soul, he ha-mispalel esvi, he ha-machshev esu mehar-heres, ha-machshev ezodeis, that this one soul, this single soul that we have, it is this soul that is davening, and at the same time this soul is thinking unholy thoughts, then the argument would be an impressive one. It can't be that a single soul should divide itself and should be involved in two opposite activities at the same time. And therefore, if a person is feeling an attraction to unholiness, it must mean that whatever attraction or feeling or warmth and enthusiasm he thought he had for godly things must not have been real. One of the two can't be real, because one soul can't be in opposite places at the same time. Aval demes la mite, but the truth is, the real truth is, hein shtei nefoshes, that there are two souls, hanulchome zuim zu b'meche shel adam, that are battling with each other in the person's mind. Kol achas, each one of them, each of the souls, cheftzo retzeino, its desire and its will, is limshel bei v'lihiye sameach mimula mimeno levada. Each one of the souls wants to control and to rule within the mind, and that the mind should be filled with it alone. Each soul wants exclusive rights to the mind. The godly soul wants the mind to be filled exclusively with godly thoughts, and the animal soul wants the mind to be filled exclusively with animal thoughts. V'chol hirhure teira v'yira shamayim, so that all thoughts of teira and yira shamayim, min nefesh olikis, comes from the godly soul, v'chol mila de'alma, and all worldly thoughts, min nefesh habahamis, comes from the animal soul. Rak sh'olikis melubeshes bo, only it carries with it the godly soul. So the godly soul gets dragged into the unholy thought when the animal soul has its way and the mind is occupied with unholy thoughts. V'hu k'moshel adam ha'mespal b'kavono. So now that we know that there are two souls and they're battling with each other for control of the mind, then what we ought to compare it to is a person who is standing and davening with proper kavana, and he's not having any unholy thoughts at all. And standing next to him is a wicked idol worshiper, and this person is making conversation and talking to the davener in order to distract him from his davening. So there, in that case of a person who is davening, and the non-Jew is trying to distract him from his davening, certainly everybody would agree that the solution and the proper response on the part of the davener would be shelei lahoshiv le'mitei v'adra, not to react and not to respond at all, not pro or con. V'lasis atzme kecheresh le'yishma, and he should make like a deaf person who doesn't hear, make like he doesn't hear the distractions, ulekaya masha kosuv, and thereby also fulfill the advice of what is written, altan chsil bivalte, do not respond to a fool. In his foolishness, pentishvale gam ata, because should you respond, then you too will become equal to him. You too will become a fool. If you engage in foolishness, you're being a fool. So there, in the case of the distractor, the solution is certainly not to respond at all, because any response would mean that the distractor had succeeded. Because it's not the subject or the content of the distracting thought that is important, but the fact that it serves as a distraction. So any response at all will be exactly what the Rasha wants. And therefore, the one who is davening shouldn't respond at all, and literally not hear the distraction. Kach, in the same way, going back to the Beinoni, al yoshiv mi umo vishum tainu umayna neged hamachshava zoro, the Beinoni who is having a distracting thought generated within himself by the animal soul, he too should not respond or argue or debate the unholy thought, because by wrestling with that which is filthy, you too become dirtied. And so to argue or to engage in a debate with this unholy thought would only make things worse. He makes like he doesn't know and he doesn't hear. Hahirhurim shenaflulei, these unholy thoughts that have occurred to him. V'yasire medaite, and he removes them from his mind, v'yesif emet b'keach kavanose, and he puts more energy into his concentration, into his kavana. That is the solution, not to become saddened, not to become angry, not to become distracted or dragged into the unholy thought in any way at all, but rather to dismiss it completely, not only by rejecting it, but also by not allowing it to change his mood, and put all his energy and all his concentration into the davening. And if he should find, as sometimes happens, that it is difficult to remove the thought from his mind, because the thought has become insistent, and it's occupied his mind to the point where he can't shake it off, he can't dismiss it. Because they have occupied the mind intensely and won't let go, then Azai Yashpil Nafshe LaHashem, then he has to humble himself before God. And he should plead with God in his mind, particularly if it's in the middle of davening and he can't interrupt to actually verbalize a prayer, but in his mind he should plead with God, Rachim Olov, that God should have pity on him, Beracham of Hamerubim, with God's abundant pity and compassion, because here he is stuck in an unholy thought, and the unholy thought is so intense that he can't shake it off. So what right and on what grounds does he feel confident to present a plea that God should actually help him? He doesn't feel worthy. So he appeals to God because of God's abundant compassion, that God can have compassion even over him, even while he is stuck in this unholy thought. Just as a father has compassion over his children, not necessarily because the children deserve the compassion, but because hanim shochim mimeche, because they come from him, they are born of him, kocho yirachim Hashem al nafshe, in the same way God will have compassion over his neshama, over his godly soul, hanim sheches meite yisbarech, because it comes from God. It is of him, lahatzilo mimayim hasdeinim, to save the neshama from these stormy waters. And we ask of God to do it for his own sake, because Ayid is basically, literally and truly a part of him, a part of the Eibishter, a part of God, and for God's sake, we ask that he save the neshama, have rachmanus on the godly soul, and free it of this preoccupation with the unholy thought. So the Rebbe says that the Beinoni who is feeling saddened by the occurrence of unholy thoughts, even if they occur during davening and during learning, when he really wants to have kavana and he wants to get into the davening and into the learning and derive the benefits that comes from davening and learning with kavana, and he's not interested at the moment, and he's not consoled by the thought that by saying no to his Yetzihara, he's doing the service of a Beinoni, which is to diminish the klipa and so on. Right now he wants to daven properly like you're supposed to. And he feels very saddened that he can't, at least for the time of davening, be free of an unholy thought. So this is saddening him. So the Rebbe says that the sadness is in its own way a victory for the animal soul. And that the fact that the unholy thought occurs does not mean that the davening was invalid, and therefore he should stop davening and worry about the unholy thought and where it's coming from and why it's happening and so on. Instead, he should intensify his davening. And by allowing himself to become saddened, he is falling into the trap that the animal soul, the Yetzer Hara, had set up for him. Just as in the example of a person who's davening and a rasha is standing next to him trying to distract him. And the sadness is a very real distraction from the davening. So that would be a victory for the animal soul. Instead, you have to make like you don't hear it and put your attention into the davening. This tells us, incidentally, that not hearing an unholy thought is a kosher thing to do. Not every thought and not every unholy feeling needs to be dealt with. It's okay, it's appropriate, and it's kosher to simply not hear. And it's only for a tzaddik, the job of a tzaddik, to elevate and to purify and to reclaim the goodness or the innocent material, innocent part of an unholy thought. And therefore, every unholy thought that comes to the tzaddik is obligated to do something with it. But the Beinoni, who is generating his own unholy thoughts, it is perfectly appropriate and perfectly kosher and perfectly legitimate to simply not hear it. And in most cases, that's the best solution. Particularly, as the Rebbe says concerning the davening, that when a person is doing something good, and all of a sudden the Yetzer Hara comes along and throws in a negative side or a negative thought or a negative motivation that seems to destroy the virtue of what he's doing, the goodness of what he's doing. As, for example, a person who's giving tzedakah, and the Yetzer Hara comes along and throws in a feeling of self-satisfaction and of smugness and of a little bit of arrogance and so on, to think that I should stop giving tzedakah because the Yetzer Hara just ruined it for me, is giving in to the Yetzer Hara. Instead, you give more tzedakah. And you dismiss the thought as invalid and insignificant and garbage. And so on with all positive things that have a slight taint to it because of the Yetzer Hara. You don't always have to take the Yetzer Hara seriously. In the Hayyim Yayim, of Chav Zayin Shvat, the entry is, Friedrich Rebbe said that my father writes in one of his Maimorim as follows. The early Hasidim made a strong resolution in their soul that everything permissible which is attractive or tempting to the heart, that they would refrain or refuse to do it. Even though it's permissible, but it's attractive and desirous for the animal soul, they would refuse to do it. Valideze, and it's through this that they were able to break the power of their passions and be free of the enslavement to their desires. By refusing and by making a strong resolution in their soul to refuse even the permissible if it's coming from a taiva. And this is in keeping with what we're learning in Tanya, where the Rebbe says that a distracting thought, you simply refuse it. You don't take it seriously. And you make a strong resolution in your soul means that you put yourself in a place where you are above the taiva and above the distraction, to where it can't reach you and it can't affect you, even to the slight degree of making you sad about it. Because that too is indulgence in the taiva.